Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mays, Arcade
at the bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. None folks to wait for, we'll bring on the chase. Out on the field, mile high, Broncos win is our desire. Coupled with Breck, brewing a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DNVR. We are DNVR.
What is up, everyone, and welcome into the DNVR Broncos schedule release show. RK here, of course, joined by my guy Zach Stevens and Andrew Mason, reacting to a schedule that we just saw for the first time, right, boys? Didn't know anything about this until 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, the NFL did a fantastic job keeping this a secret until the very last moment.
quite the opposite. In fact, just about every game of the schedule ended up getting leaked this year, or I guess eventually every single game, but we had damn near half the thing by breakfast time this morning. So,
Ryan, I remember a couple of years ago when the NFL was very strict about this, and you broke a game, and you got a very stern phone call from someone saying, "Don't do any more of those." Apparently, that did not happen this year.
Dude, but that was that really put a dent in my schedule leaking career, and now I guess it's just open season for anyone who wants to leak the schedule.
No threatening phone calls, but hey, I guess it doesn't matter now. We've got it now, and we've got a very beautiful graphic to show it off as well. Ryan, Mason and I this morning talked about kind of the first four games of the season that were leaked this morning. Well, when you look at this schedule, what's your initial takeaway?
Yeah, my initial takeaway at the whole thing is no Broncos-Chiefs games until you're really in that full flex window. Now, I've learned a lot about flexing games today, really against my will. But the way it works is games actually can be flexed starting in week 5, but between weeks 5 and 10, only 2 total games can be flexed. So it's not really open season. Then once you get past week 11, that's when the flexing really opens up, and you have no Broncos Chief game until after the flex window. So that's my main takeaway, of course, because it means the NFL is in a position to flex the Broncos and Chiefs games if, of course, Aaron Rodgers is around, or, of course, if the Broncos pull it together some other way and are very good going up against the Chiefs late in the season. That was my big kind of takeaway.
Yeah, and my big takeaway, Ryan, kind of goes along those lines, but just in a different way, and that's the Broncos only have one prime time game as of now. Like you said, things could change, but as of right now, I mean, this is the first time in forever that the Broncos have only had one prime time game, and it's the mandatory prime time game. So the Broncos don't get anything other than the bare minimum here. Of course, Thursday, week 7 against the Browns in Cleveland is their only prime time game as of now. But you have to imagine they're going to be flexed into as many games as possible if they get Aaron Rodgers. Or, like you said, Ryan, down the stretch, lot of divisional games for the Broncos near the end of the season. Not only that Chiefs game in week 18. If that one's getting flexed, that means fantastic things for the Broncos season, because that would be a Sunday night game to end the season. That would probably mean that the AFC, the number one seed, is on the line right there. So that would be awesome. But the week before, you also have the Chargers game. That could be a huge game, fighting for a playoff spot, maybe fighting for the first wild card spot there, or just a wild card spot. So there are some places where the Broncos can get a primetime game, but for the first time in 29 years, the Broncos will not have a Monday night game as of now.
Yeah, and they won't have a Monday night game, period, because flex scheduling on Monday Night Football doesn't come into play for another couple of years. So Monday night, that streak is out. That's done.
Okay, are you sure? Just because I tried to figure it again. I told Zach while you were off. I learned more about flex scheduling than I ever wanted to today. Yeah. But several different places said that was going to start in 2021. Several different places says it doesn't start till 2023 when it comes to flexing Monday night games.
Yeah, because what it is it's, from what I've gathered, it doesn't kick in until the new contract kicks in, because they got these broadcast contracts done, but they're done a year in advance. So this year we are still on the old broadcast contract. We get to 2022, for example, that's where we started getting into the new deals here. So based on what I know, that we're not going to see flex for Monday night this year. So that would be out. Sunday night is in play. But the interesting thing is, there could be a point where the Broncos are so good, and obviously this is most likely if you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, that they're so good that CBS or Fox protect those games and they don't make it to Sunday night, because each network can protect one game a week up until week 18. Now, week 18, all bets are off. And if the Broncos are doing well and the Chiefs are doing well, I think you can expect that game to be either on Saturday in one of those two windows or in the Sunday night football window. But let's say, for example, the Broncos do trade for Aaron Rodgers. You think Fox is going to let Broncos at Cowboys go? They'll be like, no, we're protecting that. CBS is going to say, we're protecting Broncos Chiefs there to start December, probably even protecting the Broncos Chargers games if the Chargers are doing well and you're looking at those Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert matchups. So we may be in a situation, guys, where the Broncos could be doing great. They get Aaron Rodgers and we still might not see them on Sunday Night Football just because CBS and Fox may say, no, we want a piece of that right now.
Yeah. And this is essentially the NFL saying, we're not willing to bet on the plus 135 odds that the Broncos end up with Aaron Rodgers. And on top of that, they're saying the Broncos have been so disinteresting and boring over the last couple of years that it's just not worth our bet. You know, because it's not like you just lose your bet like you would if you place it at DraftKings Sportsbook if you don't get Aaron Rodgers. No, you'd still get the Broncos and Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. And the NFL and, you know, those broadcasting partners are saying, it's not really a bet we're willing to make. We'll take our chances trying to flex it late in the season. It's an indictment, you know. It really is. You add in the fact that Pat Bowlen in some circles is considered the father of Sunday Night Football. And you know, he – you know, that the Broncos don't get that Monday Night Football 29 consecutive years. Guys, this will be the first time in my life or Zach's life that the Broncos have played a season that they didn't have a Monday Night Football game. It's a tough pill to swallow. And the funny part is, you know, flip a switch, you get Aaron Rodgers, no one gives a damn. But if you don't, it's going to be weird just, you know, seeing the Broncos almost have no primetime games. One Thursday night game, it's absolutely like nothing we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I don't blame the NFL for doing this. I mean, the Broncos are the only team in NFL history to have five straight seasons of missing the playoffs after they won the Super Bowl. So the Broncos got a lot of benefit of the doubt for a couple of years in the NFL saying, nope, you have to earn those primetime games. So I don't blame them right now. Broncos have to earn that. And guys, my second biggest takeaway of this schedule is looking at the beginning of this schedule and thinking how crucial it is for so many reasons that they get off to a good start. I mean, the Broncos have their three easiest games potentially in the first 3 weeks, unless one of those rookie quarterbacks comes on the scene and absolutely lights it up, which could be the case. But if not, if they have kind of a typical rookie season for quarterbacks, guys, the Broncos, they really should be 3-0 if they want any hope at having a very good season. They have to have a winning record, because not only are those three easy games, but then you turn around after the first three games, guys, and you host the Ravens, who are very good. You go on the road to Pittsburgh. That's a tough place to play, especially against the Steelers. Then you play the Raiders at home. Raiders, who knows? Maybe they're a terrible team. Maybe they're a playoff team this year. So that one kind of a wild card. And then you're on the road for a short week going into Cleveland. A lot of people think Cleveland's going to be in the AFC championship game. And then you may have a little easier, but still, Washington football team, you never know with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's kind of where I'll stop there with kind of a brutal stretch. If you go into that stretch, guys, at 1-2, you're toast, unless you have Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, if this is a Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, guys, the hope will be sucked out of Broncos country.
You couldn't be more right, Zach, on that. I mean, it's an opportunity here for the kind of start that they have not had under Vic Fangio. They literally have an 8-game September losing streak going back to even Vance Joseph in 2018. But you don't want to think about the consequences if they come out of that first three games with a 1-2 mark. And you look at October, for example, you mentioned Washington. I mean, it was a bad division, but a playoff team. So you look at that October schedule and you see 5 games, 4 teams that were in the postseason, and Washington, that 7-9 record might be a little bit deceptive, because they gave the Bucs a fight with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback last year. Remember that. Washington is better than that 7-9 record dictates. And then if you stack on that first game in November into it, I think we agree. Dallas getting Dak Prescott back, they're going to be better than they were last year. So I would even say, It's that 6-game stretch, Baltimore to Dallas. And if you haven't banked some wins in those first 3 games, and again, this is kind of looking at where the roster is now, not where it could be with Rodgers. But if you haven't banked 2, preferably 3 wins, you want to be 3-0, Giants, Jaguars, Jets. Because if you're even 2-1, you're shaky. If you're 1-2, this thing could get a little bit ugly in October, and the Broncos might be doomed before Veterans Day once again.
Yeah, so when I first saw the schedule when the first 4 weeks of the schedule leaked, my first thought was, somebody out there is looking after Vic Fangio. You know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't gotten a win yet in the month of September during his coaching career, and really can't afford to have that happen again this year. I think if that happens this year, if they were to be 0-3 or 0-4 starting the season, I think they pull the cord on the thing and just say, look, we've got, you know, I guess it would be however many games you have left to figure that out. If it would be 12 more games or 13 more games to figure that out.
Math is tough, Ryan. But we get the point.
I can't operate in a 17-game
especially when you think about it and there's actually 18 weeks. I mean, yes, it just throws you for a loop.
Week 18, I've never heard that before.
Happened once, and it you guys were both born in 1993, right? You're before
93. We're great. Old guys.
You were alive for week 18. 1993, yes, the infamous double bye year. Imagine that, 2 bye weeks. It was a 1-year experiment that went so badly they never went back to it again. The double bye year.
The double bye is what the Chiefs have been calling the Broncos for the last 5 years.
Oh, ouch. I'm sorry,
and
there
guys.
We go. Half of our viewership.
I mean, this start is a godsend. I really think that you should get 2. I think you should get 2 of the first 4, 3 is great. 4 is, or sorry, only winning 1 is bad, really bad. And obviously, if you lost all of them, it's a disaster. It's, you lost your job.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Ryan, you talked about Vic Fangio specifically. This is also great for his defense because you look at this. You look at Daniel Jones week one. He's been a turnover machine throughout his career. So unless he takes a big step up this year, which is possible entering year 3, it's not like he's set in stone of what he is. But if he doesn't take a huge step up, especially in week one, the Broncos could really feast on him in terms of turnovers. Week 2, you're playing Trevor Lawrence, who's making his second career NFL start. I know he's Trevor Lawrence and is going to be a great quarterback, but this is only going to be his second start in the NFL with a new coach, maybe a new third string tight end with Tim Tebow. You don't know the chemistry that he's going to have with him yet. So the Broncos should, the defense should feast on them as well. And then week 3, another rookie quarterback, guys. This is going to be Zach Wilson coming from BYU, making his third career start in the NFL. Again, Vic Fangio should be able to feast. There should be no slow starts for this defense. There should be Von Miller and Bradley Chubb should be able to get after the quarterback. You should have Kyle Fuller having an interception or two in these first 3 weeks. So this really sets up in the best possible way in every single situation for Vic Fangio, unless the Broncos defense doesn't look good and they lose games.
And I love the fact that they're not getting the first game of Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson, because week one, all you're going to have is preseason film. Nobody's going to put anything of value there. Vic gets to game plan for Trevor Lawrence with one game of film. That's going to give him an advantage. He's going to game plan for Zach Wilson with 2 games of film. So that in and of itself is a break. I would much rather see Lawrence and Wilson in weeks 2 and 3 than either of them in week 1, where the element of surprise could have really screwed things up. I think that week 2 game in Jacksonville, that might be the rude awakening game for Trevor Lawrence, staring across the line of scrimmage and seeing Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and seeing Vic scheme things that Lawrence hasn't quite conceived of coming out of Clemson. That too is a huge break for the Broncos.
We really did lose a good chunk of our viewers after that. I thought we were in a safe space here. I thought we could laugh at each other. I'm sorry. It was just right there. All right, let's check out the schedule again, because I think the balance of this thing is really interesting. When you look through the beginning of the schedule, you say, okay, that looks pretty nice. That looks pretty good. And then you look at the second half of the schedule and you're like, okay, you know, this is where if you are in a stretch run, this could be really exciting. If you're not in one, it could get kind of ugly, in my opinion. Obviously, you have both of the Kansas City games, both of the Chargers games. Who knows? I mean, I never like being scared of the Chargers before the season. I don't really think, you know, they're all that scary until they prove that they can stay healthy for a week. But you know, you have a resurgent Cincinnati team in there. Obviously, the Eagles not as scary, but you know, really just the goal should be to be in it going into after the bye week. I think that's the way you kind of have to look at this season. Is okay if you are alive going into week 12 against the Chargers, you are saying we have a chance, because, you know, the two teams that we expect that you would be in the race for would be those two teams if it's a 3-team race. And you'd say, look, we have all 4 games against the two teams that we're jockeying for position within our division and potentially for a wild card spot, you know, when it comes to the Chargers, especially 4 games against those two teams in the last few weeks of the season. If you're in it going into that bye week, I think, you know, we're finally going to have some fun Broncos down the stretch football here.
You just have to be close in that bye week. You can be a game under 500, maybe even 2 games or below 500. I mean, you can be a game below 500 and you'll be in it then, because 5 of the last 7 games of the season are division games. That's the NFL saying, here, Broncos, if you want to play on primetime, if you want to control your destiny, here you go. Here it is. So you just can't blow those first 10 weeks of the season. And the Broncos will have a shot here, guys. And I think the Chargers will be competing for a wild card. Broncos could be right there. Heck, I don't know about the Raiders at all, but you still get one game against them. And then your two non-wild card or your two non-division games are easy games in that stretch. So you have to win those if you want to make that push, especially if you're right around 500 entering that push. But I love this because the Broncos will be able to control their own destiny toward the end of the season.
Yeah, yep. They should be able to. And now that being said, what is the threshold as far as a record that you would feel good about? And let's again assume that the roster is what it is right now. A threshold of record that you feel good about heading into the bye. Is it 5-5, or with all those tough division games, do the Broncos maybe need to be 6-4 when they hit the bye to feel good about their playoff chances?
It really depends on how you look at it. If you're looking at it in the way of, hey, look, we're going to lose a few of these, we need to pad our wins early to be able to get in, well, then I think, yeah, you say 6-4 is kind of a minimum for going into that stretch run. But, you know, kind of like Zach just mentioned, hey, if you're 5-5 here, you're not feeling great, but you're at least saying, look, we have an opportunity here to make movements as we go in. So I would tend to err on the side of caution and say, look, we got to stack up wins here early in the season. So when we go down the stretch, we have a little bit of breathing room. But, you know, I think either way you slice it, like I said, just be alive. Figure out a way to be in it going into the bye week, whether that's 5-5, 6-4, and you come out of that saying, look, you know, we really have a chance here to accomplish our goals.
Yeah, I think if you're six. Sorry, Mace, you can go ahead.
Yeah, six is the magic number because I look at Detroit and Cincinnati. Those are games you should win, right? And then you figure if you can get two out of the other five, two out of those five division games, 10-7, most with seven playoff teams in the conference, 10-7, most years it will get you in the postseason. We're going to find over the next several years.
Yeah, and if you're 6-4 entering that stretch, guys, you say, okay, you beat Detroit, you beat Cincinnati, you're 8-4 right there. Let's say just you lose both games to the Chiefs, you're 8-6 right there. Then you just have to win two of those games of their three remaining games between two against the Chargers, one against the Raiders. If you're a playoff team, Mace, you should be able to do that. And heck, you could even go 1-2 and still slide into the playoffs going 9-8, just depending on how other teams are. But even if you don't, if you go 9-8, Mace, you're feeling good about this team. Unless you have Aaron Rodgers and you're thinking a little bit disappointing. Oh. But I mean, you're feeling good because you just flipped a team that has lost four straight seasons. Now you flipped it to a winning record. You flipped it to 4.5 games better than you were last year.
Yeah, I think it depends then how you get there. Did you get to 9-8 playing better down the stretch? Or did you get to 9-8 because you faded? And that's where this is sort of an interesting thing, because what if they are, say, 9-5 after the Bengal game and look like they're in good shape? They go to Las Vegas and lose. They go to the Chargers and lose. And then KC at home, say KC is playing for a number one seed and you lose that. So that's where I think it gets into an interesting spot where it's not just what your record is, but how you get there. If you're 9-8 on a three-game losing streak and things kind of fall, are perceived to be falling apart at the end, that's the scenario where, even though you have a winning record, if we're talking about this team having Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, I still think that the axe might be falling on some people on Black Monday.
I think if you have a winning record, it's definitely we're trudging along into next year. We feel confident about the way things went. We had a tough draw in the last three games of the season or whatever. We need to finish better, but I think Vic Fangio would definitely be safe. I mean, maybe Pat Shurmur. We'd have to see how the offense shook out and what that kind of looked like. But one thing that I really love here, and you guys will notice, we're not going to do schedule or record predictions today. We will have some more record prediction stuff on Friday during Three Ring Circus. But it's difficult, as you guys are all hashing out in the comments right now. I mean, it's difficult to do this. We don't, you know, we could do a Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater prediction, but with, you know, Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings, it makes it a little more complicated. So make sure you tune in on Friday, Three Ring Circus. Our guest is going to be Romy Bean of CBS4. We should have some fun with her. We'll go through the roster. We'll make our picks as it relates to which quarterback might be starting. Not going to do that today, though.
Exactly. Oh, sorry. Continue, Ryan.
I was going to say one thing that I really love here when we look at this schedule and how favorable it is for the Broncos. You know, you get some of these strength of schedule metrics that are based off of last year's records, which, you know, that'll give you a nice little peace of mind. But what I love here is this was made by Mr. Case B on Twitter. He took all of the DraftKings projected win totals for each team and created strength of schedule based on that. And based on that metric, the Broncos actually have the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL this year. And based on really any metric, you're going to see that the Broncos have a very easy schedule this year. But so much can change over an offseason. I like looking at the projected wins from DraftKings here. This is a super, super favorable schedule for the Broncos and really should be a huge opportunity for Vic Fangio to kind of get off the schneid, for this team to get out of the hole of losing seasons. It's kind of all setting up for them here. And, you know, everything down to even the placement of the bye week is really nice.
I mean, finally, right? It's felt like forever since we've been able to say the Broncos got a good break with the schedule, especially the way that the schedule actually shaked out. And I love the week 11 bye week. I think that is perfect, especially because then you get a week off to prepare yourself for what's going to be potentially a huge run for you. And then you'll be as fresh as possible for the playoffs as well. I love that week 11 bye week. And I also love leading up into that week 11 bye week, guys. You get to play the NFC least back to back. Now, there's arguments to be made that Washington football team, if you get Ryan Fitzpatrick on a hot week, they could be really tough because their defense is good. Their defensive line is terrifying. That's not going to change with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but that's a very winnable game with Ryan Fitzpatrick back there. It could also be a scary one. Dallas, they're obviously going to be better than they were last year with Dak back, but Dallas isn't a team that's like a juggernaut right now, in my opinion. They still have many holes. And then Philadelphia, guys, they may be the worst, and I'm sorry to Allie for this, but they may be the worst team that the Broncos have on their schedule right now, just with how in disarray they are. Sorry, Allie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but think of it this way. You might get the Joe Flacco game. I mean, that's...
Bring it on.
Please, God, no.
Oh, come on. That would be...
We already got
so
the Joe
much.
Flacco game. He was 2-for-2, and the Jets lost.
Yeah, and there was no one in the stands, and the game was in New Jersey. This one is Joe Flacco coming to Denver, where I'm sure the reception is going to be just lovely. And if nothing else goes right, maybe that game will go in the Broncos' favor. But yeah, it's a benign schedule here. And now that being said, there are always games that end up being tougher than you think they are now. And there are ones that are going to be easier than you think there are now. And so you kind of, and that's where I kind of look at Washington and Dallas. And I say, those are the games that could end up being more difficult than we expect today. Games that could be easier and more winnable. I'd take a look at that week 5 game against Pittsburgh because of the way Pittsburgh slid into the postseason last year.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it this way. I believe there's only 3 teams on the schedule that won a playoff game last year. Now, you have a few that snuck in and lost in the first round in there. But you have Baltimore, Cleveland, and Kansas City. They're the only teams on your schedule that won a playoff game last year. You don't have to deal with anyone. Only one team who made it into the Final Four. You don't have to deal with anyone from the NFC. That was good. And so you have like a really nice schedule here. There are the unknowns of Trevor Lawrence and, you know, Zach Wilson early on in the schedule. But again, they really should be licking their chops at this schedule. And heck, maybe it's even more of a reason why Aaron Rodgers wouldn't mind coming here and playing against this last place schedule.
And also, guys, with the start, let's say Aaron Rodgers is here, he doesn't have to face a gauntlet right away. The Broncos can hash out their issues on offense, build that chemistry with the easiest start that they could possibly imagine. And a slow start for a team with the Hall of Fame quarterback, guys, wouldn't be the craziest thing ever. I mean, even Peyton Manning had a tough start in 2012. So to think that Aaron Rodgers would come in and need a couple of weeks to build up, that's okay with this schedule, because you could go 3-0 and Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos offense could not be clicking through that as well. And I mean, you're still probably putting up 24 points if the offense isn't clicking. That should be plenty enough for Vic and this defense to take care of these three games. And then you start heating up at home week four against Baltimore. I mean, then you're talking, holy cow, this is really, really good for the Broncos with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, guys, but I'm glad you mentioned Peyton Manning from 9 years ago, Zach, because it didn't do the Broncos any favors early when they opened, of course, with Pittsburgh, and then they turned around. They went to Atlanta, who was number one seed that year, played Houston, got a break with the Raiders, and played at New England. So they were 2-3. This opening, I mean, I think if those 3 weeks they kind of get their feet under them, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, I think you can expect this team to be 8-2 or 9-1 at the bye.
I mean, there will be no way to put any brakes on anyone's expectations. Aaron Rodgers, and I don't see any reason that they would need to be. Hopefully, we get to have that conversation in great depth for a few months before the season starts. But of course, we'll have to wait and see on that. Any other takeaways from the schedule here that you guys want to touch on before we get out of here?
Real quick, you always look and see, okay, do you have three straight road games? That's one of the first things you look at, in addition to kind of where you start, where you finish. You avoid the three-game road trip, and that's something that even great Broncos teams have struggled with. So that's a nice little break there. And then just kind of the usual thing, the NFL has to have the Broncos playing at Kansas City in December. That's 3 years in a row. You're kind of used to that. And for Broncos fans who want to spend their holidays elsewhere, Christmas in Las Vegas.
Yes. Oh, you can combine Christmas vacation and Vegas vacation into one film.
Oh, man. That could be wild.
Yes. I guess that was the last thing I wanted was what's the game you're looking forward to most on the schedule?
I think that week 17 game against the Chargers could be pretty juicy. Now, it's not going to have the fan base that's going crazy outside of Broncos fans being in Los Angeles, but that game could be, I hope it's huge, because if it's huge, it means the Broncos are in it in early January.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's another game where it could be a huge traveling contingent, or just the Bronco fans in Southern California invading that stadium. That's a good time to have a quasi home game. If you're playing for something in week 17, going to LA and looking around and seeing 40,000 Bronco fans in beautiful SoFi Stadium. So that's one that jumps out as well. And, I'll tell you, it's that Thursday night game against Cleveland. I mean, the Browns are they're a team that it would not shock anybody, I think, if they join that elite class of contenders in the AFC, if they're right there with where we expect Buffalo and Kansas City to be. So if it's Drew Lock, Aaron Rodgers, it's a litmus test type of game going into a tough environment. Or Drew Lock, Trey Bridgewater, pardon me. If it's Aaron Rodgers, I think we're looking at that Cleveland game as a potential preview of a big January playoff game.
Love it. For me, I am so nostalgic for big, rowdy, raucous crowds. And I think that game against the Washington football team at home on Halloween is going to have just an absolutely crazy environment. You know, the holiday gets people a little extra loose before the game. You've got the costumes. I think that one, in terms of a home game, is just, especially if the Broncos are still, hanging around, I think that one is just going to have an awesome atmosphere.
I think so too. And guys, I never thought I would say this, but games against Jacksonville, the Jets, and Cincinnati are going to be a lot more interesting this year and a lot more exciting because you get to go up against three of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in the game. And that should also be great news for Vic Fangio. Gets to go up against young quarterbacks, especially the fact that you get to play Trevor Lawrence in week two before he's able to get his feet under him. I think that is really good. And my final takeaway, guys, well, two, one good, one bad. The bad, I don't like ending the season 2 out of 3 games on the road in the division. Now, that Chargers game could legitimately have more orange in the stands, but still you got to travel. I don't love that, having to travel two out of the last 3 weeks of the season. But what I do like, guys, is there's a chance that, let's say the Broncos don't have Aaron Rodgers, but they're in the playoff push. That week 18 game, Kansas City could have everything locked up. And I hate saying that, but it's very realistic. The Kansas City could have everything locked up and they could be playing their backups that game when the Broncos are trying to make that push and need one more win to make it into the playoffs. That could be huge right there. Getting Kansas City with no Patrick Mahomes because they're sitting everyone. You only have to play Kansas City once with Patrick Mahomes. That's a very realistic possibility there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gabriel, with a very timely request here, make sure you guys hit that like. You can also subscribe to our channel here to catch all of our content. You can even sign up for alerts anytime we go live or drop a new video. But we appreciate you guys for tuning in on a quick little instant reactions to the schedule. Of course, we'll be back on the pod tomorrow. And again, make sure you tune in on Friday. We'll be back live on the YouTube channel for another episode of Three Ring Circus. We'll have our guest, Romy Bean. We'll do even more schedule talk. We'll go through the whole damn thing and put some predictions down. But for today, that wraps it up for us. We'll talk to you guys later.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.